Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Matt Garrity, who owns Matty G Digital, Starting Point Digital Marketing, and the Thrive Coworking Community. He is also the co-host of the Kortha Small Business Podcast. So today we're going to be discussing Matt's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Matt.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to have you here today. So to get started, tell us, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
As an agency owner, I think what inspires me most is the ability to help other businesses, which sounds maybe a bit cliche or lame, but I really enjoy the ability to utilize marketing and the tools and come up with my own processes and all that kind of stuff to be able to actually help businesses with this. There's so many myths with digital marketing. And I think sometimes we get lumped in with, not to criticize, like used car salesmen and a lot of other industries.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
We get thrown in there and like, I'm never going to save the world and I'm never going to change the world. But I hope that everyone that I work with recognizes like I'm trying to do good by them with digital marketing and we're not trying to take advantage of people.
Yeah. I love that. I know there's been some, you know, fly-by-night digital marketers out there that have unfortunately tarnished the industry in some ways, but, you know, I love just, there's so many authentic entrepreneurs out there who genuinely want to help. So I love hearing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think SEO is the thing that's probably ruined it more than anything for us, frankly. There's so many people out there doing SEO, whether it's wrong or not inappropriate, but the thing I come across most is people don't understand what they're getting for their money. They don't understand what's happening. They'll ask the agency what's going on. They don't get an explanation. And I don't understand if agencies are like intentionally trying to take advantage of those people, take their money, not really do anything like the link building and all like the behind the scenes type of stuff. But the SEO is what drives me the most crazy.
Yeah, I think it's so important that you just have to have that communication dialed in and be managing those expectations from the start. And then, of course, if you have a client who came on board and they'd been burned in the past, it can be a huge challenge to just kind of create that trust with them quickly right out the gate.
Oh, for sure. I was really scared to start selling SEO. And then I remember the first two people that I was considering it with was like at the same exact time. It was right before COVID. I don't know how timely you want me to speak or evergreen right now, but it was like right before COVID, I was like really nervous to sell SEO. I had learned about it and I knew foundationally what to do. And I was doing it well for my own business at the time, but it really scared me. And I remember I got those accounts. I still work with one of them to this day. And they explained I was the only person that explained anything to them. I don't know if it
was crazy.
And I explained to a degree like link building, which to me is the big thing that gets done in the background that no one talks about. It's not fun. It's not appealing or whatever, but like that's what helps build the authority and Google trusts us and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I try to explain to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to like explain it to them because I'm probably getting too far ahead in this conversation. I'm sorry, but like
that's okay.
I got thrown into digital marketing like 8 years ago, which actually sounds really long now, but I didn't know anything. And I kind of like hacked it and I figured it out. And I remember people that were trying to teach me stuff. In my head, I was like trying to figure it out. How do I say this back to people? Mm-hmm. And it was just like super buzzword free, common sense, blue collar. And I still talk to people that way now.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really gotten me ahead and been able to sell some of those more confusing things like SEO and better like talk to the people that I work with.
Yeah, I just think having a down-to-earth approach and just, you know, just making a conscious effort to ensure that the person that you're speaking with is like understanding what you're saying is the most important thing at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I do it so much and I've done it for years. Like I don't even refer to SEO. I don't say SEO to people often that I work with because they don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
So I'm usually saying like getting found on Google with SEO. And even to the point now where that's I smart. Mentioned SEO to you, I kind of had like a twitch. I'm like, oh, I have to explain what SEO is, but you and everyone listening probably knows what SEO is. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. It's so true. So yeah, so I'd love to know, so you mentioned that you got into the industry about 8 years ago. So how did that transition into you starting your own agency? Tell us a little bit about that story.
So going from working at an agency to starting my own agency, oh man, like there are hundreds of reasons why I think I started my own agency. Mm-hmm. Not to sound too negative, but the biggest one was wanting to be in control of my own livelihood.
Yeah.
I got really sick of other people being in control of that. And mm-hmm. I used to say before I had hired anybody, but I used to say that like employment was a trap and I really disliked it. And I loved working with contractors and freelancers and like trying to help them and mentor them to like get out of that trap and to do their own type of thing. But mm-hmm. There are so many different factors, but like, that's the biggest one. Like I know, wanting to always like spend a bit more time with my kids now are 5 and 7, and my wife will remind me often. I'm good at it now, but the first couple of years when it was like it's still busy but it was like chaos and trying to figure everything out, my wife would be like, well, we got this thing at 2 o'clock, and I'm like, I don't know if I can make it. And she's like, what's the point of you doing your own thing if you're not able to just mess off and like do what we want to do all the time? And yeah, it's like I remind myself of that quite often whenever I hesitate. And now I have 3.5 businesses, the podcast being half, but it generates no revenue, so technically it's nothing. But and people probably think I work really hard and I work like 80-hour weeks. It's not true. I don't even think I work 40-hour weeks. I'm the most lazy entrepreneur you'll ever meet in the world. I never really wanted to be an entrepreneur. I never wanted to be a business person. I just kind of got thrust into it, or I guess it was ego. And I think we all have egos as business owners where we always thought that we could do something better than somebody else. But mm-hmm. to me, I was like, I can't have other people being in control of my livelihood. I'm not going to make enough money doing what I want here. I got 2 little kids. All heck is breaking loose financially everywhere. And that was years ago. So to me, it was like, I want to be in control of this stuff. And yeah, control is like not the best word I've learned over the last couple of years, but I wanted to be able to better manage my life, my finances, my career, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So interesting and so true. And so, you know, when you were first starting out, how did you bring on those first few clients? Because I'm really curious to know like how that strategy has evolved over the years.
It's still probably similar. And I think it's funny because people will say like, well, we get word of mouth and we get referral and all that kind of stuff. And I think that there's ways that we can market referral word of mouth business. But that's how I started. And like, I probably shouldn't say this in a recording, but like I took my client list with me from the previous jobs that I had. And like, I kind of was like, I don't really care what happens here. Like, I know we all kind of have those like non-competes and you can't talk to those people for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I frankly was like, I don't care. What's the phrase? Small fish in a big pond or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, no one's really going to care. I've not worked for one of those agencies for like a year, year and a half. The other one's like more fresh. They don't really want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go completely off the rails and like defend myself in court and not have a lawyer, but like I was ready to like this is my livelihood. You can't stop me from making money. So I, like, that first day, I literally had a list, like, on paper. Like, I wrote down all the people that I want to work with, all the people I had good relationships with, and I called them. Like, old school, picked up my phone and called them. And I was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Yep. Let me know if you ever want to work with me. And like, that's how I got my first couple clients. I got them from that. I got them from other people. Like, they heard that there was a bit of hesitancy at first too, mm-hmm. where they're like, you're just getting started. You're new, you're green. You don't know what you're doing. What if this doesn't work for you? I don't want to invest that money in you right now. But after a couple months, like, people started coming out of the woodworks, which was nice.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so how has that strategy evolved over the years? How do you continue to bring on more leads into your agency to grow it?
So I think the first thing that it was, of course, is referral, word of mouth, but like, that's boring to talk about. Social media was really good for me with organic posting. Mm-hmm. And now it's SEO. And also, you know what? It's probably ads as well. I get a lot of "you're everywhere" type of thing, mm-hmm. where people chuckle and they kind of laugh. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, it's exactly it. I don't care if I'm everywhere. I don't care if I'm annoying you.
That's kind of the whole point. Yeah.
And I will say that I'm extremely fortunate to my location. Would I be, I don't know what successful is subjective, but would I be where I am today if I was in a bigger city like Toronto or Ottawa or Kingston? These are kind of small for Ontario. I don't know your whole lot. Like, if it was New York, Chicago, LA, Vancouver, would I be as successful as I am now or where I am? Absolutely not. I don't believe that. I think I'm extremely fortunate to where I am location-wise, which is mm-hmm. Lindsay, Ontario, which is part of Kawartha Lake. So Peterborough, Bob Cajun, Fenland Falls, etc.
Yeah.
I'm everywhere. No one really is doing marketing on a consistent brand level and a consistent time level consistently like I am. I'm ranked number one and two because of the two marketing businesses across the board. Lindsay, Peterborough, Fenland, all across Kawartha Lakes. My ads are everywhere. My social media was the first thing that took off. It took about 8 months of doing social posts where I started to not be able to make a connection between someone that called me. It used to be like, I would ask, like, where'd you hear about me? And they're like, oh, so-and-so recommend you. I'm like, okay, I know that person. And it was 8 months. Someone's like, so-and-so over at this car dealership recommended you. And I had no idea who they were. And I'm like, I'm like on the map for my own marketing, which is cool. So now it's SEO. I love SEO. I'm big on SEO. I think it's one of the most important critical things any business owner could do and should do, especially with demographics are changing rapidly across like rural cities and big cities. And we saw the shift of people leaving the big cities and coming to more rural country communities. Mm-hmm. And like those demographics are changing. And as that's happening, less people know that you exist in those areas. So I'm a big proponent of like, we have to do SEO. We have to be found on Google. Yeah. Otherwise, like, again, not to be dramatic, like, you're not a real business if you're not getting found on Google. And I've probably just offended a lot of people and I'm really sorry, but like, to me, it's like, you have to be found on Google. It's the foundation for everything. It's even the foundation for referral and word of mouth business. Like, if you were to like suggest a pizza company to me, pizza's different. Pizza's like a $5 purchase, $10 purchase, whatever. Mm-hmm. $20 actually in some cases. But if it was a service and you're like, hey, you should go check out that service, I'm not just going to go buy that service. The first thing I'm going to do is go to Google. Yeah. And I probably won't remember their name exactly. So you better hope that they come up with the right name. Yep. Or if I don't remember the name, I'm going to Google the service and they better show up. Yeah. And like, I strongly believe SEO plays a part in every marketing tool that we do in every reason, whether it's referral, word of mouth, or net new eyes on the business.
Yeah. So interesting. And then so with the prospects that come in through your SEO, is it mostly local businesses that you're working with, or do you work with some, you know, businesses from, you know, the US or you know, just in further away?
Yeah, it's still local to the province for the most part. I do get a lot of my traffic in conversations from Kawartha Lake specifically. Again, not to like pat myself on the back, but like I'm the guy there. It's become very clear, like with consistent marketing and branding, like that's it.
Yeah.
I do have people that I've worked with. The client that I've worked with the longest is from Cambridge, Ontario, just outside of Waterloo, which is famous for RIM all those years ago. The Black, it was Blackberry. I've almost forgotten the name of it. So that's the first. I was going to say Blueberry, but it's Blackberry.
Oh, Blackberry. Yes.
Yeah. So I worked with them. I worked with people still in Toronto. Half my client list is local and the other half is scattered. I work with someone in London, Ontario. I've worked with people in San Francisco, Vancouver, Calgary. I was going to say Florida. It just, that stuff is a bit more word of mouth because I don't actively target those areas. For the longest time up until this year, I was like really focused on Cowarth Lakes and then Durham region, which is where I grew up in Whitby, Ontario, Oshawa, Ajax, Pickering, all those areas. And I'm like number one for all of Durham, all of
that's huge
for digital marketing, that location type of thing.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to like focus a bit more on Toronto, Brampton, Mississauga, Markham, those bigger centers. So
yeah. Interesting. Okay. So I know that you mentioned that you get a lot of referrals, and I know you also mentioned that, you know, having that communication style where you are, you know, explaining things in a down-to-earth way that's easy to understand is one of your strategies for, you know, winning new business and obviously keeping your clients happy. But what are some other things that you've learned along the way that helps keep your clients happy so that they're going to bring in those referrals to you down the road?
The thing I think that's been the most effective of like keeping clients happy, and like my biggest accounts, like I think two of my top four biggest accounts I've worked with for over 3 years. The other ones are new. But the biggest thing with those people is communication and recurring calls and meetings. So one of the things that I took from working at agencies was that we would often, as account managers, which is where I started, like just an account manager talking to clients, like dealing with like the PPC specialists and the SEO specialists and all that, and like kind of picking stuff up as I went. But what I learned is like every month we'd get these reports and then we'd send them off to the client and we'd be like, hey, let us know if you want to talk. And then I realized we're sending these like 20, 30 page reports with a bunch of numbers that they don't have time for and they don't know what they mean.
Yes.
And that's no disrespect to those people. But like if they sent me a report about how their widget works, I wouldn't understand what that means either. So we were sending them these like reports that were long and made no sense. They didn't have time for it. And then they would like, frankly, back in agency days, I used to get like once a week an email like, what are you doing for me? Right. And I hated
it. Yeah, you've read those emails. Yeah.
I've never received one of those since I've started Managing Digital almost 4 years ago or back in 2019.
That's so
because
cool.
I took from that whole thing is like, we can't just send reports and numbers to people because they don't know what they mean. They don't have time for it. And then like, there's no real story or conversation there. So like the numbers are one thing, but like there's a reason for this stuff often. Like there's ups and downs and we have to explain that. And there's not always patterns. There's not always a rhyme and a reason. That has to be like talked about.
Yeah.
And I was listening to another podcast of yours earlier, and I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was talking about how in the service industry, was he talking about saunas? And their sales were like through the roof through COVID because everyone was at home and we had this disposable income and everyone wanted saunas and it was fighting off COVID and bacteria and all this stuff. And then this year, their numbers are going down pretty substantially. And there's like no real rhyme or reason other than like COVID was an anomaly and it was weird and it messed up everybody's numbers and it messed up all the patterns and metrics and everything. But if you just kept sending that client a report every month, they'd just see this number plummeting and they'd think that you're messing something up. But in reality, like there's a reason for it. And those things talked about. So we're not being deceptive or we're not telling a different story, but like the thing that I've found keeps people the happiest is understanding what I'm doing and understanding like we're on top of this. There's communication. You have a partner in this. And not to sound silly, but like if you have a partner in a personal relationship, you have to have good communication, which is sounds like a romantic comedy line, but it's true. And like, you need to keep up that communication. They need to know what's happening. And like, if things are good, why are they good? If they're bad, here's what we're working on. Mm-hmm. You need to keep that communication up. And
yeah,
I've like been insistent that we have recurring monthly calls with the accounts that I work with. And usually within that first month of onboarding, I'll set it up. So like the first Tuesday of every month at this time, we have this call, and I've stuck with that throughout. So there gets like stuff comes up and like, there's some wavering. You can tell there's some clients that are like, I really don't need this that much anymore. Cause they're often not even used to that type of communication. But mm-hmm. I also find too, in that way, like they'll never wake up in the cold sweat of the night when things aren't going good and be like, what's that bearded hipster doing for me? Like, why is he not doing something for me? I haven't heard from him in months. They know they're going to talk to me every single, the first Tuesday of every single month.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I think that's so smart. And so if you have those clients who maybe don't want to be meeting, you know, that often, do you just sort of adjust it? Maybe you meet with them every other month or something like that, or for a shorter amount of time or something, or are you strict and you're like, no, this is important. Like, we should keep doing this.
I am very open and fluid to what they want. So again, like I'll use the two of the four biggest accounts that I've had that have been with me the longest. The first one ever from Cambridge is Ontario, just outside of Waterloo there. They're a chiropractor, and they were working with an agency for like, it wasn't even an agency, just a guy that mm-hmm. that knew how to do ads type of thing. So I took that on, and they weren't used to any communication, or like she like realized probably years into the engagement that he didn't know what he was doing. Anyways, so like she was not really used to this monthly conversation. And now like, weirdly enough, like we haven't really spoken in a few months just by email. Cause like I've had a couple things come up, and like, cause I know her so well. I'm like, hey, do you mind if we move this? Do you want to reschedule? Do you want to just cancel it? And she's like been pretty open, like just cancel. We don't need to talk. Like everything's fine type of thing.
Yeah.
And then the other people locally, like a massive HVAC company that I've worked with for like going on 3 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. Their goal, there's two of them that are on this call. And the goal, like we joked about this year, is like, get this guy off the calls. Cause he's like, I don't really need to be here. Maybe I check in every couple months. You and the woman can keep talking every month. That's fine. But they don't really need as much. I have found lately there are some people, and lawyers are a bit more notorious for this, and I even find like contractors don't like it as much. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting more, okay, if we're not going to have a call, I will send out that report, but it's a bit more like an explanation, like a pretty long email of like, here's what we're doing. Here's the focus. Here's the things I'm focusing on. Mm-hmm. Cause like, they're probably not going to even look at the report anyways, or like the numbers are just numbers. So I like to just frame it more as an email.
Just try to summarize all the points.
Yeah, absolutely. And frankly, I like it too, because it keeps me more accountable too. So like, there's always things going on in the background, but it's like a good way for me to like reset, sit down, spend in time before that call, like think some more about the account, what's working, what's not, where do we go, stuff like that. I find it super useful for myself.
Nice. Interesting. Okay. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Matty G Digital?
There's always challenges, and it's like having kids, where I used to think that eventually the problems would go away. But mm-hmm. I'm realizing now my kids are 5 and 7. The problems are never going to go away. They're just different.
They're just new problems.
They're just different problems. And I would say my current problem, frankly, and sometimes I don't like to admit this, is I wish I worked with more expert contractors and freelancers from the beginning. And what I've been doing is I have like a bit of a pipeline of meeting like new grads and students from the local like college, and like mm-hmm. they have an interest and a passion in marketing. And I, at the beginning, I had maybe a bit more time, and I was like, hey, I'm going to take them under my wing. I'm going to mentor them. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to teach and train them to become marketers and use them while I'm doing a lot of this work. And it's good, but at the same time, I'm realizing like, I'm not a teacher. I'm not equipped to train people just because I know how to do digital marketing and I know how to use the softwares and I'm really good at strategy and that stuff doesn't mean I should be teaching and training other people. Right. So like I'm getting frustrated lately where it's like, I don't have the time to teach people and like we're growing. And like trying to take on bigger retainers and bigger accounts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, I need more expertise from people and I need more experts in these different channels and these different mediums. And like, I can't be the person that does it all. Am I the expert at all those channels? No. Can I do a lot of them really well by myself? Yes. Do I want to do them all? No. I don't want to frig around with stuff that I don't bring value to. So that's my current challenge is I wish I had more experts in certain channels and mediums. So like, not to scare anybody, if I am talking, if for whatever reason, a client of mine is listening to this and I'm doing this for them already, I don't want them to panic because it's good, but like I need LinkedIn ads experts. I can do it and I can do it well, but I can't do it the best as an expert like that.
Right.
I need an events marketer that knows like I've got my own process, but like, does this make sense? I don't know. I need someone to be able to come in and be like, I've done all these events before. This is how we do like this marketing and the process for it.
Yeah.
So like little things like that, like email marketing, I do it well. I work with a couple of people that do it well, but I think that we could do a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I would like, I don't want to be able to like take the people or myself and this is probably counterproductive to a lot of what other people have said on your podcast before, but like, I'm not that guy that spends hours and hours and hours reading about and studying and how to be the best at whatever. I would rather just find an expert now and use them.
Mm, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It can be a huge challenge trying to find someone, you know, find talent. And especially if you're a local company and you're not, you know, outsourcing, definitely narrows your pool down as well. It's one of those things I think a ton of agency owners have felt those pains of, you know, finding someone who's just, you know, not only has the talent, but also is a good fit for their culture as well.
Yeah. And for me, like the culture, like the bit of semantics, but I don't know if this is right or wrong either, but like I have very specific ways I want to do things. Like I do have processes, I have methodologies for this stuff, I have strategies. I want people to kind of think about things the way I do. I want mm-hmm. them to utilize their own systems, if that makes sense, but I want them to still think about the same things I do, because like I was talking about at the beginning, I do think a lot of marketing can be people using smoke and mirrors and they're making it way more complicated than it needs to be. And I want to focus on certain people locally here. And I want the people to be thinking the same way I do in certain ways of like, mm-hmm. we don't need to make it that complicated. We're not out here doing the stuff that we've done in the past or learned in the past from big agencies. Like we don't need to be doing that stuff. We need to focus on really small particular things and in certain ways. So
Yeah, so true. And then, so where do you see Maddie G Digital in 5 years' time?
I don't know what that answer is right now. I would like to see, of course, growth. So this past year, we had like revenue goals and average retainer changes. I don't know if I really like want to mention the price change, but like I wanted to increase the average retainer pretty substantially. And then I realized I didn't really want to take on one-off projects, meaning if someone comes to me and was like, I just want to do social media, I don't want to do it. Someone comes to me and is like, I want to do Google SEO, but I don't want to do ads, I don't really want to do that because
that's smart.
I've had the most success with the bigger accounts.
Yeah.
And I realized like, yeah, they're paying a lot, which is cool. But at the same time, I'm doing like three or four tactics with them and I'm doing just one tactic with someone else for a fraction of the cost, I spend the same amount of time almost talking and communicating with those people. But then I also have more success when we're doing multiple things.
Yes, of course. Yep. Because once you get to know their brand inside and out as well, you may as well be utilizing it for all these different marketing services, and then they're going to see better results.
Yeah. And like, to me, like, I think back on the stat Google told me like years ago, where like people interact with your brand like 12 times before they reach out. Mm-hmm. So that could be SEO. It could be Maps, part of Google, Google Ads, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. Right. And then if we're just focusing on one of them, how much value are we really going to bring? Like, what are we really going to do? I hate now too, like if I do Google Ads for someone, and yeah, we're going to pay for clicks and we're going to get clicks through the website, but what if that website blows? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And like, I know that messaging doesn't work, and I know that website's not going to convert. I won't take it on anymore. So yeah, yeah. I spent all this year trying to transition into that. I thought it was challenging, because the first 6 to 8 months I sold like nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Like really quiet. And I was like, man, this is going really bad. Then I ended up selling like 3 in the last like 90 days. And then I was like, oh man, like what's that convert? Like that sales closing rate was still really good. Actually, it was still like over 30-something%. And I was like, well, it's actually not that bad. Now I know I need to make like, I have to have 3 or 4 of these calls to close one. So it wasn't that scary. Mm-hmm. But ultimately what I'm trying to get at is like, that's what I want to be doing more of, is holistic marketing plans and strategies, not just the one-offs. Again, yeah. Like I don't like doing social media. If someone is like, hey, I had a mortgage broker reach out to me recently. I'm like, what do you need? And they're like, well, everyone's on social media. I need to do social media. And I'm like, well, what I think you actually need is SEO and ads, and here's why. And it was very eye-opening to that person. But to me, I was like, I don't want to do just social, because I know in a month or two, I'm going to do social media posts for them. It's not going to do anything, right? Yeah. It's going to create some awareness, and it plays a part. But for someone in an industry where people are searching for it often, that's where they need to be first. Mm-hmm. So to me, like, I'm not taking on projects that I don't want to do, or I don't want, like, I'm not taking on projects in 5 years that are not one off, but like just one tactic. Like we need to be holistically looking at stuff. So now
I agree.
Every time, like, I'm doing brand messaging with people, I'm doing their website, I'm doing personas, then we're building in like 3 different tactics into this retainer, where there's a bit more flexibility too, to figure out like, what do we actually need here? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so smart for sure. Yeah. It's not going to do the business any favors if you're just offering one tactic to them. And then on your side as well, it's not, I think, an efficient use of time as a digital marketer when you're not, you know, offering multiple services to them and have them on retainer.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the biggest change in the last year was me taking on not the persona, but that I'm an expert. I used to be uncomfortable saying I'm an expert, because I don't know if I am, but now I believe like experts have these methodologies, processes, strategies, plans, and all that. And mm-hmm. I have that. When I look around at other marketers, they don't have that, and they're kind of winging it and making it up, and they get in trouble. Or I used to get in trouble when I would listen to the client, which again is going to sound bad. I was very nervous about this podcast, because I listened to this like a bunch of them before, mm-hmm. and it was awesome, but everyone else was so much more polished and successful than me. And I'm like, I'm going to say something really stupid that people don't agree with. But anyways, what I realized has gotten me in trouble is I listened too much to the client for years, where it's like, I need social media. And I'm like, cool, I'll take your money. And I would do social media until they fired me, because it wasn't doing anything. And I kind of knew it wasn't going to do anything. Where now, if someone's like, hey, I need social media. And I'm like, actually, what you need is this. And mm-hmm. you need to kind of let me be the expert at what I do. You be the expert at what you do. I want to free up time so you don't have to think about this anymore. And then you go run your business.
Yeah. But
that's what I've gotten myself out of trouble a lot more this year doing also, which is like being the expert, taking that on, not listening to the client as much in so many ways.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to position yourself as well as, you know, like the expert. You know, you're not an order taker. You know the industry, you know what's going to be of benefit to their business and what's going to get them results. So, and once they understand that dynamic, I think that that makes for a much smoother working relationship.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, a lot of the, again, I got the sense of other people you spoke to, like they worked with big companies, like big corporate enterprise type companies. I don't work with those companies. I don't want to work with those companies. Mm-hmm. 90% of the time, I am talking to the business owner of that business.
Yeah.
And they're a menswear company or a HVAC company or a plumber. And they're experts at what they do. They're not marketers, though. They don't know how to market.
Yeah.
Just like I don't know how to sell menswear. I don't know how to be a plumber. I don't know how to install a furnace, right? So that's why I realize I have to take on that persona. It's not, I maybe shouldn't say it that way, but like I need to be the expert of, if the menswear company is like, hey, we need to be doing more of this on social media. I need to be putting this hashtag in or saying this more. That's not for them to say. If they want to tell me, yeah, let's talk more about long sleeve shirts this time of year or Christmas presents, that's perfect.
That's valid.
That's the communication we need. But if it's like, this is how you need to do your job, I shouldn't be listening to them. And if I listen to them on that, I'm no longer the expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. No, that's good. So yeah, we're going to be moving on to the fast five here shortly, but you know, before we move on, do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I guess the thing that I've been thinking about lately is like, I don't have regrets. And I also think that's a cliche to say, I don't have regrets, but there's two things that I wish I had done sooner. Mm-hmm. One, and they're both somewhat related, and one of them will come up in your next couple questions, because I know how this process works. But one of which I already referenced was a little bit about the, like, try not to hack it and work with experts right out of the gate. Whether mm-hmm. I've always worked with contractors and freelancers, and I still do with Matty G Digital and Starting Point and like the marketing companies. Mm-hmm. But work with experts right away. And the thing that will come up in a second, so I won't talk too much about it, but like find those people. Don't try to do it yourself, because again, I don't want to mess around with stuff that I don't bring value to. Mm-hmm. I know what I bring value to: account management, business development, sales, like the brand strategy, all that kind of stuff. I love doing SEO tactically. That's one of my favorite things to do and talk about, and Google Ads also a little bit, but
yeah,
like I don't bring value to writing a social media post. So right. I need to find an expert that writes social media posts and an expert that does the designs. Like I don't want to do stuff that doesn't bring value to my business. And I wish I had thought about that from the beginning.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Cause then, you know, when you're able to offer that really high quality work, you're able to get those results for your clients faster. That's what's going to help bring in those referrals for your business and help grow your agency quicker.
Yeah. And like the reason why I can work less than, I do work less than 40 hours a week, which is embarrassing, but I work like Monday through Thursday. I don't work Fridays. And that's somewhat newer. I've always done that in the summer, but this year I've been able to carry it on much longer than I'm going to keep it going. But the reason is like, I have systems for this. So like, I'm not doing everything myself, and I do have a lot of experts that work with me. So don't get me wrong. Like I have someone that does all my copywriting for social and web pages. Her name is Kristen. I've worked with her for like 3 or 4 years, and she could probably run this if she wanted to on her own. She could. And like, I've got an expert that does, like an amazing designer that does websites or social media posts and stuff like that. So like, I've got those experts and everything, but the thing is like, you need more of them always. And like, you need those people so you can focus on your business. Like I would like to just exclusively be taking sales calls, right?
Yes.
Get me on a phone call with people. I will sell them. And like, that sounds bad because I don't like selling people, but like, I will find what their problem is and I will provide a plan for a solution. Is what I should probably say. But like, that's what I need to be focusing on, not writing social posts and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really great point you bring up. So no, I love that you're sharing that, because I think that's I think as an entrepreneur and agency owner, your time is best spent, you know, in the sales role when you're able to, like you said, uncover those problems that your clients may be having or prospects may have, and then be able to figure out what that solution is. And then, you know, you can just move them from there and your team can handle it from there.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the fast five. So I've got five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
How rapidly do you need me to reply? Like, do you want me to shorten my answers? Because I'm rambling.
Most of them are not rapid fire, if that gives you an idea.
Okay, good.
They are very rarely rapid fire. Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Some people that will know me will laugh because I don't read a lot of books, which is embarrassing. And I shouldn't probably not confess that. But the big book that I read, it was, I think, at the beginning of 2021. It's called Who, Not How by Dan Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And I touched on this a little bit already, but we as human beings, whenever we have a problem, we immediately think how to fix the problem. But we should be thinking who can fix the problem. Mm. And that was very enlightening to me years ago. Yeah. While I was trying to transition and like, okay, how do we grow the business? I can't be doing everything for everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. I need to find who's. So who can do my social media post? Who can do my Google ads? Who can do all this stuff? So again, instead of thinking about how to fix a problem, I like to think who fixes a problem. And that was that Dan Sullivan book.
I love it. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Again, this is a bit embarrassing because I haven't done it in like 3 or 4 weeks, but for the last few years, I think since 2001 also, I get up at 4:45 and I rip CrossFit at 5:15 to 6:15. I come home. CrossFit's terrible. I don't know, like, I encourage people to do it, but it's also the worst thing in the world. It's so hard, but I guess that's the whole point of working out. Yeah. I also don't look like I rip CrossFit all either. I'm not one of those guys that's like constantly going to talk about CrossFit. But anyways, I do that every Monday through Friday at 5:15. I come home. My kids are like just gotten out of bed because they've gotten up at 6. I usually like, this is super lame now, but like I unload the dishes, I make coffee, I hang out for a couple minutes, like drinking my coffee, I make myself breakfast, I eat breakfast, my wife's in the kitchen running around making their breakfast and lunch for the day. I leave for work around like 8:30, 8:40, get into work. And then I've restructured my day like recently to start doing all my calls in the morning from like 9 to 12. Mm-hmm. And then people also laugh at me that I've got lunch booked off in my calendar from 12 until 1 every weekday. And then from 1 until 4:30, basically, is now I'm trying to focus on actual work that needs to be. So as much as I talk about, okay, there's stuff that other people should be doing, there is stuff that I am still bringing value to. So I'm doing like a lot of audits and strategy and SEO on page type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing like, I've got all these calls and all this stuff all over the place, but like, how am I going to execute any of it? So mm-hmm. now I'm focusing more on that shift of like only calls in the morning and then focus work in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know. When you don't lump those things together, it just, your day can get away from you so easily. And then there's all these lulls in between tasks. So I love that you've done that. I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's been new. Like, it's like not even 2 or 3 weeks old. I've not really run into too many problems. I had one person actually in the last 24 hours kind of complain that they couldn't get a call after like noon. And I was like, well, find a time. And like, frankly, I know... maybe I shouldn't be too critical, but like realtors, I don't really love working with, and it's a realtor. And like, yeah, so I'm not going to let them kind of figure it out on their own if they want to like book time or not. So
yeah. Yeah. All right. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, again, I'm not a huge follower of like too many CEOs or people like that. I think too many of them get into like that hustle culture type of stuff. And I'm not about that, as mm-hmm. I think I've made clear. Mm-hmm. But someone I was introduced to a couple of years ago, Donald Miller, who has started with Story Brand, now a Business Made Simple and all these things. We've got a business in, it's in Nashville. He was the one that introduced me to brand messaging in a really cool way. And a friend of mine who was like in his programs was telling me about him for like a couple of years, probably. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not big into frameworks at the time. I was not big into frameworks. I wasn't big into processes and all like these like programs and everything. And then I've kind of since realized that's how you get successful and how you actually make money is frameworks and processes. And I've adapted all that stuff in the last year, but he was going on and on about this messaging. And it was about how marketing fails because we make ourselves the hero. So we talk, in my case, like Maggi Digital is the best marketer and I've been doing it for all this time and you should really work with me. But in reality, we need to make the person reading this the hero. So it would be like, okay, you have this problem and you feel like poop about it and this is how you want to feel. And we bring people into a story in a different way. And like, I've heard people explain this to me in like different various ways where people are like, well, you need to bring people into the story, but they never had a way to do it other than change the pronouns, frankly. Instead of like us, it would be like you. And like, that's how we'd be bring people into the story. Mm-hmm. But Donald Miller has this wicked 7-step framework to figure out who that character is, what they're struggling with, how to bring them into a story and make them the hero. And you're just the guide that helps them along the way.
Interesting.
I'm not a certified, they call them a certified story brand guide, I think they call it.
Yeah. I've had a few guests on who just rave about it. I don't actually know too much about it, but they honestly love the whole course, I guess, that you take.
Yeah. And like, again, I was like hesitant. I don't buy into that stuff. And then one day I remember I picked up the book that my buddy bought me and it's called, so I'm just looking back, called Marketing Made Simple. Nope. Building a Story Brand. It's called, that was the book. Yeah. I sat down because like, I don't read, but I finally sit down and like the first page, I was pissed. I was so mad because it made so much sense. And I kind of already thought that way. But Donald Miller had like articulated it and written it down and made a heck of a lot more money than me. And I was just like, I love this. And I like tore down my websites. I tore down Maggi Digital. I started fresh with Thrive Coworking Community where like we use this structure. And like, it was a massive game changer for me. I do all brand messaging this way now. It's a fascinating process. I bring in like a certified story, a brand guide. And I just find, I look at other marketing now and I realize all the issues and problems people have. And I understand why and why they're not like their messaging doesn't work.
Yeah.
So like, I'm fascinated by him and what he's done. And it's just, he's filthy rich now at this point. But he just speaks down to earth, blue collar, very similar to what I strive to be now. I'm just fascinated by what he's done. So
really, really cool. That's so interesting. And then, so what is your favorite online tool?
I don't know if this is lame or not, but Asana. So a project management software. For years, I wasn't using one and it was a nightmare. I actually don't remember how I was organizing stuff in the past. I don't know if it's like a traumatic thing where my brain has blocked it off or something.
That would be a huge challenge.
Yeah. That woman I've been working with for years, I was saying, Kristen, the copywriter, we would text each other constantly, like all day. She'd be like, what's this? When are we doing this? What's that? Like constantly. Mm-hmm. And then I realized like, okay, I got to do a project management software. This was also 2001 at the beginning of the year when I learned about Who Not How. And then I'm like, I need a project management software to do all this work for us. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time looking at some other ones and Asana is supposed to be like the leading one. And I thought it was going to cost a fortune. It ended up costing like a third of what it did, which was a relief. But I was like, I so bought into what it would do for us that it didn't really matter what it cost. And I remember for like a year after that, Kristen and me would be texting each other like once a month, They're like, are we still friends? Like, do we even work together? Because like, we weren't talking and communicating the way that we were previously. Yeah. It was literally like chaos. And I don't know how we did it, because it was every day, 8 to 10 times a day, like, what's going on? And now it's like, it's all in Asana and it's there.
That's amazing.
Thank you. I started this co-working community back in April of this year. So like, we're barely 7 months old. And my wife is the co-owner, and the other office manager that we have here, like, I would always tell them, if it's not in Asana, it doesn't exist. And they'd like roll their eyes. They'd laugh at me. They're like, let's use paper calendars and like, let's write all this stuff down. And like 2 months ago, they said it to me because I didn't put it in Asana, but like not in a joking way. And I was like, I'm finally have made it. This is great. They finally bought in, and like, it took them a couple months, but now they get it. Like, if it's not in Asana, it doesn't exist. And like, that project isn't going to get done. It's not going to get done on time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So true. All right. Well, last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I hate using cliches, but it's another one. Like, I kind of wish that I had started my own businesses earlier. I started when I was 30, which is probably still fine. Was it 30 or 31? 30. And I wish I had started a couple of years earlier. However, I would not have known half of what I know if I didn't go through some of those issues and mistakes and learnings from the previous agencies, where I was like, well, this went wrong and I'm pretty sure I know why, and here's how I can correct it. And I frankly think that that's how I have had like pretty success, like communication wise and good reviews and making sure like people are leaving on good terms.
Yeah. So
I guess what I wish I had learned years ago was, I think it is still maybe patience. And as much as we want to rush stuff, mm-hmm. We are learning with all of these little things that come up, these mistakes, these issues, and everything. Like, if you have a mistake and you're just going to bury your head in the sand or get upset about it, like, it's no value. Like, take the mistake, figure out what went wrong. If you can figure out what went wrong, you're probably going to be a business owner or an entrepreneur and run with it. But
yes.
I guess that's the thing I wish I knew back then, besides the other stuff too, about like not hacking it, working with experts, and the who, not how type of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, this has been great, Matt. Thank you so much for joining me today for today's episode. You've shared a ton of great, helpful information and tips. So thank you again for joining me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.